to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Your hand is a landmine, resting with reluctance by my side on a Sunday morning. Fingers twitching, mirroring my own, my lonely atom bomb. Burning to crash and create chaos, but resisting as we two roommates, two best friends, two soul sisters sit in silence. Inseparable. Innocent and inwards with our emotions. I never think it out loud, or even too loudly in my head, but you are the love of my life. And one day, we'll explode these benches, our hearts soaring through searing skies, unconfined, undeterred. Immaculate. When I was a kid, I always imagined getting married in a church, the Catholic Church to be specific. As I got older and I realized some things, I realized that I was going to have to make some sacrifices for that to happen. And then, you know, much later, I realized it's not realistic. It's not realistic. And so one of the things that was difficult for me in terms of, you know, being open about who I really was accepting that dream was over. You know, I was not going to get married in a Catholic church. That was not going to happen. And any marriage that I had would not be recognized by that church at all. Which, you know, the thing is, you know, in the UK, because I know that a lot of people like to go on about how the UK is such a Christian country and yada, yada, yada. But the fact is, quite a lot of people in the UK now are atheists, which is, you know, which is cool. You know, people have different feelings around religion, and that's fine. So actually, to most people, it's not really going to matter to them whether they can get married in a church or not, which, you know, which is fair. but you know, to me, it felt important, because, you know, despite the contradictions and the complexities around it, I do still feel that connection to, you know, to faith and to God. And I understand completely why some people look at that and think it's a bit weird. I get it. But, you know, it's just, it's a thing that's going on for me. And you know, that's just how it is. I remember during, you know, COVID, you remember her? During the first lockdown, or maybe it was the second lockdown. I lost count of the lockdowns, I'll be honest with you. But there was one that coincided with Christmas in a sense, because where I lived at the time, I think it was Christmas 2020, I think. Where I lived, we were placed in what was basically like a mini lockdown, in that we weren't allowed to, you know, gather inside, and we weren't allowed to leave the county and a whole bunch of other things. And so effectively Christmas was basically cancelled, unless you already planned to spend it with the people in your household. So I was supposed to be having people over for Christmas and that was cancelled because COVID. And so that Christmas I spent with my brother who lived with me at the time. And, you know, it was good. You know, we had fun. But the night before Christmas Eve, because I always go to Mass on Christmas Eve. I have done forever and I probably always will. However, because of COVID, it was happening over like live stream, right? So I'm sitting there watching it on my phone and you know, my brother's like, you know, because I'm into, you know, other things, you know, I'm very into exploring, you know, other realms, other possibilities, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that's a bit of a contradiction. He was like, wait, how, are you still, okay. And he was a bit confused, which is fair, you know. And then obviously when I, you know, when I started to kind of be open about, you know, about myself more, a lot more people were like, wait, but you still believe in, oh, okay, how does that work? And I don't know that I have an answer for them, really, beyond that what I have learned throughout my life, and the relationship that I feel that I have with, you know, with God is not an antagonistic one. And I do believe that to love another person is not a bad thing. So one of the things that I've always kind of noticed is that for people that have believed in something for a long time, they're able to ask questions and they're able to be curious and things like that. And I feel like that's where I've been for a while, you know, in that I can, you know, question things and say, is this what you really meant? Or, you know, did you maybe mean something different? And some people, they might say that, you know, I'm just picking and choosing and I'm making up answers to suit my own situation. But I don't care. I don't care. So, you know, I can still hold on to something that's important to me, but I also have to recognize that other people interact with that thing. And, you know, so just because I believe that God would be okay if I were to rock up at his house with a woman and be like, we're getting married, what's up? That does not mean that the people that are currently occupying his house would be down, which is unfortunate. So this week in the UK, it was announced that the Church of England were basically like, we are also not going to allow same-sex marriages. And it's like, right, okay, all right. I mean, not to be offensive, but like, considering that your church came into existence so some dumb man could get a divorce, like, really, bitch? Really? Okay. But like, you know, I'm not trying to say that like one kind of Christianity is better than another, but like, really, girl? Anyway, so they've made their thoughts very clear. I have to be real, I didn't really expect them to change their minds. Like, I just didn't. But still, it's kind of disappointing. I mean, in a sense, it doesn't really affect me because I probably was not going to get married in a Church of England church, but you know, still, it's kind of a wider thing, you know, it's bigger than where I personally get married. it's about somebody like me being treated like a normal person. So I saw a thread on the Twitter that really caught my eye, and it is from a man called Daniel, and he is a man of faith. He posts some great tweets about his husband and his dog, and I have to tell you, we kind of fucking stan. But he posted this thread, and it really spoke to me. So I'm going to read it. So he says, as the Church of England offers to bless same-sex couples by calling them, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but that's fine, covenanted friendships, let's just hope we got it right. I am reminded of the elderly woman in a former parish who would sit next to the same woman in church every week. The two were inseparable until one died. At the funeral, her friend was inconsolable, telling me in my office before the service, she was the love of my life and I was hers. We were soulmates, but not once in 60 years did we kiss or hold hands or spend the night together or do anything that might lead someone to think we were lesbians because we were both so scared. I was ashamed of myself for 60 years for wanting to be with her completely, and now I'll spend the rest of my life being ashamed of myself for being too afraid. Oh God. And wow. I mean, it's kind of a joke when people, you know, look back at the history and they're like, oh, there was these two women and they were really close friends and they, you know, they lived together for decades and they were real good mates. They were pals. They were buddies. They were these two guys who lived together in a flat share. That it was a one-bedroom flat, but somehow they made it work. And they were just such good friends. And, you know, and obviously if you use your brain, you know what's going on. But the reality is that couples like that are so common, you know, in history. And, you know, And like these two women that Daniel's talking about, they loved each other, but they were afraid to express that love. They were ashamed of how they felt. And it's hard to accept that that's happened, and frankly, it's probably still happening. I mean, Christ, up until like, how long is it now? Hang on, I'm shit with dates. You know me. I think next summer it's going to be like 2 years for me, maybe. I don't know, you know how I'm with time, but you know, that was me. And and there have been people in my life that I loved very deeply, and oh God, what are my fucking eyes doing? Stop that. We are not going to cry on this podcast. Or maybe we will, I don't know. But there were people that I loved very much. But I didn't express that. And I didn't get to have the things that other people have in relationships, you know. And it's not just about, or even remotely about, you know, sex with a person. It's it's intimacy, it's just holding someone's hand, it's just sitting with them and watching the world do its thing, you know, it's walking down the street and just knowing that every now and again someone's going to look at you and think, oh, they're in love, and that's nice, you know. And there are people that I loved very much that I never got to have those things with. And instead, I effectively made myself pretend that I had those things with other people because I wanted to be normal and because I wanted to be accepted. And it's not as drastic as these two women that Daniel talks about. And, you know, I think I'm going to think about this thread for a while. I was halfway through reading this thread and I started writing something about it. So, you know, obviously it's going to stay on my mind. Wow. But obviously, you know, it's not as drastic in most senses. I mean, you know, there is someone that I love very much, and I will never have a chance now to express it. I mean, there's you know, another person that I could. I just, you know, because they're still around, I just don't want to. But I regret that. I regret that time was wasted. That I let that happiness get away from me. I do, you know. And I don't think that the blame for it can be entirely placed on religious institutions. Of course not, because, you know, there were other, you know, I mean, in my personal circumstances anyway, there were other factors in play. There was, you know, obviously, once I became an adult, my own choices, you know, and I do accept that, you know, I did choose to, you know, to do that, to hide who I was and to try and blend in with, you know, the majority of society. I did do that. That, you know, there's other things as well. And again, I don't think it can be blamed entirely on one thing, but, you know, I do think that my dad's reaction probably didn't help. My local council. You see, look, if I get a chance to blame something on the Tories, I'm going to take it, all right? So, yeah, that didn't help. If you didn't know, I think I have talked about this before, but I grew up in Kent in England, and the local council, which was run by the Conservatives at the time, and still is actually, once Section 28 legislation was repealed on a national level, they brought in their own legislation because there was a loophole that allowed them to do that. And so effectively, the county of Kent lived under that legislation for another like decade and a bit, I think. And it had, you know, a lot less in the way of safeguards than the previous. I mean, the previous legislation itself was not great, but I don't know, it's like, it's that legislation, but worse somehow. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, growing up, in school as well as other parts of my life, I felt, you know, I was taught to feel that that who I was wrong, because there was the assumption that none of us were that thing, and so we can just teach them that it's wrong and it'll be fine, you know, with no thought to the fact that some of us might have been the secret bad thing. And, you know, so all of that combined obviously has a responsibility, but I think in the UK so does religious, or so do religious institutions, because I mean, what is this for? You know, what is this for? Like, even this sort of olive branch of, God, I'm going to try and pronounce it again, covenanted friendships. That's, come on, man. Honestly, I think maybe it'd be better if they just didn't offer anything at all, because Christ, that's like basically saying openly that, you know, we're less than, which, thanks, guys. I mean, one of the things that for me, you know, even before I came to the decision to be open about who I was, like, even before that, like, years before, I would look at the things I was told, and I would think about them, and I'd say, well, does this make sense? Does this make sense with what I know of God? Does this make sense of how the real world is? I don't know. And I would ask these questions, you know, because through my interpretation of life and how I came to be here, I was given a brain. And so it must be that I'm supposed to use it, right? And so I guess my major question, you know, for the people making these decisions would be, why are you afraid to use yours? Do you really think that God wouldn't want you to? I don't know. I mean, I guess it doesn't make a difference in my life really anymore, because I've let go of that dream, and I accept that some people that that follow the same or a similar religious path to me are not going to agree with me on that, and they're not going to believe what I say, and that's fine. It's whatever. I'll just carry on doing what I'm doing, and I feel pretty good about it. you know, I have a complex relationship with it, and that's fine. And I can, you know, I can still have a fulfilling life while being true to myself and recognizing that there isn't anything wrong with me, and that I'm okay, and that I'm not somebody that needs to miss out on life, you know, because love is life. You know, that's literally the point. It's the pursuit of love and friendship and happiness and being around people that matter to you and expressing how you feel truly. And I don't have to be cut off from that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so I can be happy, and that's fine. But I would ask them, do you not think that God would want that for everybody? Like, is that such a crazy thought? That everybody deserves to be happy? Is that so wild? I don't know. But, I don't know. I guess maybe I'd want them to think about those two ladies who loved each other so much, who were devoted to each other,
but they always felt that they had to keep it a secret. They always felt they had to be ashamed. Didn't they deserve to be happy too? Didn't they deserve to enjoy life? To have love? I mean, I'm just saying, I feel like God would be like, yes, yes, they do. Which begs the question, why is it that the people that claim to speak for him don't think he would? I mean, do you think he's a mean guy? Because I don't. I don't think he's a bitch. I'm just asking. I'm just asking the question. Do you think he would deny people the greatest thing that ever existed? I disagree. I don't think so. But I don't know. I feel like they're kind of stuck on this and it's never going to change. So, you know, we adapt and we find other ways to validate who we are and how we feel and to be happy. And that's okay.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever, with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing